This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's never the underdog.
Yes, sir.
It's never the underdog.
Yes, sir.
Final four now.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith, joined by my co-host, Raul and Shu. As predicted, we're back. We're recording this right after the big win over Baylor. First time we've really got to do one of these this season, so that's pretty exciting. So we'll jump in and kind of dissect that a little bit. So like I just mentioned, Duke just beat Baylor 78-70 in the Garden. Nice little dub there. So fellas, we kind of talked about some of the keys to the game or what we thought would have to happen for Duke to win this game. Not sure how right we were with that, Raul. I think you were saying we needed to win the three-point battle. We didn't really quite do that. I said we needed to limit Flip's post touches and, you know, maybe him going 5 of 14 and Misi getting 5 blocks suggest that that probably didn't quite happen the way we wanted it to either. Shout out to Shu. He did talk about winning the, you know, on the defensive rebounding a little bit. We still gave up 11, but I thought we kind of contested and held our own down the stretch, especially Ryan Young. And we'll talk about Ryan kind of, he'll get his own little segment here. But let's just kind of start and go through this a little bit. Shu, I'm going to toss this to you. Coming into this game, Baylor has some like big time guard play. I mean, you got Ray J. Dennis, you got the freshman Jacoby Walter. Nunn is a guy who probably can play a lot better than he played tonight. Yet it looked like Duke, even without Proctor, like our backcourt just won this game. I mean, the guards I thought were great all the way through for the most part. Talk to me a little bit about what you saw from McCain, Roach, Foster, and Blakes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the guys, they finally feel like they got their sea legs under them, the freshmen at least. Jared and Caleb, we've been talking about can they both play good at the same time, and I thought this was a game that they did. We started with both of them. They joined Roach, Mitchell and Flip to round out the starting five. So just seeing them play with poise, we knew it was going to be a physical game. And you could tell, I mean, the first half, it was rough. Like it was a damn near a football game in the first half. A lot of bumping and look, the refs, they didn't call it. I think they were only like, what did we finish with? 3 fouls in the first half, 3 or 4. And they probably had like 5. It wasn't a lot, right? First half went by quick, a lot of fouls, a lot of no calls. That's fine if that's the way we want to do it. But the freshman just, throughout the night, especially at the start, McCain was incredible. Foster in the second half. So Blake's got like 10 minutes come in, that high energy guy. So I like what I saw out of those guys. And then, of course, Jeremy has been on a heater, you know, for the last 5 games. And he's kind of, like we talked about in preseason, the closer for us. So,
yeah. I mean, just McCain, Roach, and Foster have over 50 points in this game. I think they have, 10 assists or 8 assists together with about 4 turnovers. Meanwhile, Ray J. Dennis had 6 turnovers himself. Jacoby Walter has 4 turnovers. I thought we were really able to kind of press them a little bit. At times, we really – I guess we could encapsulate the game by saying, the first 10 minutes, I thought we were awesome and played great. And then, the middle 20, we kind of lost ourselves. Baylor went on this, 32-16 run after we go up 10. And then the final 10 minutes or so, we're back to just, really playing great again. Shouts to Jeremy Roach, man. What a lifesaver. We talked about it over the – I kind of downplayed it. I think we all kind of downplayed it a little bit. This kid has just saved us, dude. He just over and over, his ability to get into the paint, the ability to finish. You know, I know Brian kind of quoted his stats, but it's like if you watch freshman year Roach, sophomore year Roach, and then to see his ability to finish and like how crafty he is around the rim now, just big time. And this is all without Proctor, right? Like, so we don't even know kind of where this goes from here. McCain with another 21 point game. Foster's a bit quiet, but I thought this game, I think last time out, I was saying I thought he might would be a bit more aggressive. He only takes 9 shots here, but like when he was doing it, like there were moments where he was just driving and just getting to the rim, getting whatever he wanted. He only has 2 assists, but we were watching it live. So I thought he played a really good kind of game, just managing the game. Didn't try to force anything, had a few nice looks, a few of those, maybe some hockey assists led to it or something. I don't know, man. I've been really impressed by Foster in our 2 biggest games and these 2 big neutral courts against MSG and then again here against Baylor. Maybe this kid just loves the lights.
Yeah, I mean, that second half, like I was talking about earlier, he just kind of got really aggressive with taking the ball to the rim, got a shoulder around a couple guys and was able to just, you know, get downhill and get to the basket and finish well. Had a couple pull-ups. I think he might have missed 1 or 2, but, I mean, overall, just like you said, just played within himself and played well tonight. And, again, in the Arizona game, 2 of our biggest games, he showed up. So if we can continue to see that, it'd be great.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that 6? That's like 6 really good games in a row for him. Yeah, just like 6 games, over 50% shooting in every single one of the games, shooting really well from 3, taking care of the ball too, which has been a problem with him in previous seasons. You already mentioned that Shu had talked about that on the previous pod as the key to the game. But yeah, good call on that. You know, the fact that, you know, all our guards, I mean, Foster has a 1-to-1 assist to turnover for this game, but then you've got 3-to-1 for McCain, 3-to-1 for Roach. And the fact that, you know, we got 8 steals on them is a big difference there.
Yeah. And we only had 8 turnovers. We had as many steals as we had turnovers. Yep. That part there was absolutely huge.
In a game that physical, to only have 8 turnovers that game.
Yep.
Pretty incredible. We weren't just, you know, coming across and walking through the lane like we've done in, you know, several games. So,
yeah. Yeah. And for the most part, I thought we made it tough to guard us. I think the only times that we didn't, again, is you see Filipowski at 5 of 14. And he had some nice stuff off ball and he had some nice stuff cutting. I think was it Foster? Maybe it was McCain that just found him for that like quick dunk, like where he's doing some dunker spot stuff. But when he was trying to just sit there and just back down and post up, I mean, the dude for Baylor just, I mean, he ends up with 5 blocks, 10 rebounds. I mean, that part is a little bit concerning. You know, it's like we really probably should just lean into the backcourt. It seems to be the strength, and let maybe Flip complement that a little bit, or at least kind of spread that out a little bit more.
That's what I was hoping to see when Flip was in a little bit of a lull scoring the ball, that we still getting the ball, but maybe him look to be the facilitator there in the middle, you know, start getting some action, some movement around him. Cuts and kickouts and have him, you know, look to be a passer more than score. Because Misi was tough in the paint. I mean,
Yeah. That was a...
Or if he's going to be a scorer, like, get him in more difficult to defend actions. You know what I mean? Like catching the ball going downhill or something off a pick or something like that, rather than, you know, these very static actions that are just really easy to defend.
Yeah. Especially him and Roach. When him and Roach are in the pick and roll and he's diving and Roach finds him on the short like bounce pass there, that seems to always end up in either
flip to me.
Free throws, or a shot at the rim. So maybe, you know, we'll continue to kind of see how the offense evolves. But again, the offense stagnates in those flip post-ups too, right? Like it just seems to stop a little bit with him. And he has 4 assists tonight and we've shown that he can pass. And I think it's just about getting a little bit quicker. And I think it's natural to see that slow down against a team like Baylor, right? We weren't going to look quite as crisp in this kind of offense like we did against Charlotte and Hofstra playing a team like Baylor. Even though they are the 80th ranked defense, the athletes, the skill level is just much higher, right? It's just so much higher that it's going to be harder to be able to do that. But you know, either way, it worked out. Let's talk a little bit about, I mentioned him at the top here. I think Ryan Young plays probably, what would you say? I don't see the minutes.
Yeah,
he played 9. Okay, that's a little bit more than I thought. His first spiel into the game was not super great, right? Like, that was part of that huge Baylor run. The last, what, 3 of 4 minutes when he was pretty much on there the floor the whole time was great, I thought.
Flip got his fourth foul with like eight and some change.
Yeah.
And so we came in with Ryan, and I think the one job they gave him was like, just don't let Misi get a rebound. We don't care if you get a rebound. Don't let Misi get one. That's the only thing. And, you know, give him credit. He was boxing him out, and then our guards were coming in, you know, to actually rebound. That was the difference in the game. Ryan was incredible for those, you know, 5 or 6 minute stretch. That play they ran, the pick and roll, him and Roach, and then he's driving the lane, sucks the defender down, kicks out to McCain. That might have put us up like 9. I thought that was like the play of the game right there.
That was the play of the game right there, yeah. Right? Because he could have easily tried to go up and finish that. You got the big guy right behind you. But to be able to kick it out, shouts to Jared for knocking it down. It's tough, yep, to knock down that wide open one like that.
NBA 3,
yeah. I thought that in particular was like, okay, we're winning the game, right? Yep. Like, that's like, let's go home. Their guards had started to look kind of shook at that point, like they weren't finishing. Even more than that, though, I think Ryan has 2 rebounds. But, dude, he was bodying guys down there, right? Like, he was putting bodies on there.
Oh, yeah.
The 2 that he got were just absolutely, like, monumental.
Grown man rebounds. And then yeah, knocked down his free throws.
Yeah, the whole team. For that. Right? Yeah. To shoot 83% from the line in a game where you're only taking 12 threes and you're only making 4 of them, to make 24 free throws, like, that's the game right there, right?
Yeah,
like,
and Foster goes 4 of 4, and we know that that's been a problem for him, actually, hitting his free throws. So that was a nice improvement. McCain goes 4 of 4 as well. Roach goes 7 of 8. So between your guards, you have 1 total missed free throw.
Yeah, yeah. So I think there's a lot to be, like, excited about right now. It did look like we continued to catch Baylor instead of them. Now, they played much better than they played against Michigan State.
Yeah.
But there still was just, like, some kind of, like, you could tell they just kind of gave up a little bit, right? A little cool stat, since we're doing this in real time, I just saw that Duke Men's Basketball tweeted out. So when we played this team, the last time we played them in 2010, it was 61-61 with 3.5 minutes to go. Duke goes on an 11-1 run. This year, it's 61-61 with 6:30 left to go. Duke goes on an 11-1 run. Game finished 78-71.
Yeah, basically the same, right?
Yeah.
So, 1 point off.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. Played out a little bit differently, but it was cool to kind of see that there down the stretch.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I wanted to ask you guys, how concerned are you? I mean, obviously, we're just pumped at the minute, and it's tough to be concerned about anything, but how concerned are you about the Filipowski foul trouble? Because that's been a recurring theme. you know, asking him to guard the rim, especially with that kind of small backcourt, just puts him in a lot of tough situations where he ends up fouling. And we've seen it in multiple games now with him picking up a third or fourth foul pretty early. And then you have almost no choice but to insert Young, because, and Young did play really well tonight, but
right,
you have almost no choice because Stewart's just out of the rotation and Reeves is too. So,
yeah. I mean, I think it's a legitimate concern, right? Like, it's, you can win a few of these like this, but at some point that's going to just bite you, you know, and you're going to drop games. Hell, we've already dropped three, you know? So it's like, I think that is a big thing. I think for me, it's, I'm okay with the fouls at the rim, trying to protect the rim. We have to just stop the ball screen fouls, though. I don't care if he just has to play drop or just if we're just going to give up, you know,
uncontested twos. In my opinion,
those fouls can't happen, right? Because he's going to have to pick up some at the rim. He's just going to have to. But you can't also pick up two up top. That just kills you right there. So I don't know what to do schematically really to stop that, other than just have him either switch or ice or drop or whatever. But if we could eliminate those, then maybe we could be all right. Again, Mark Mitchell, I mean, he has two fouls tonight, but that guy never fouls. How do we get him to maybe help out a little bit more? And I don't know. Shu, what do you think?
I mean, I'm with you. I think tonight, especially, you know, Flip was contesting a lot of shots and then we're giving up offensive rebounds on top of that. So, you know, you got to get Mark to start coming over and helping if that's what we're playing him as the four.
Yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned after the Hofstra game that Flip comes out to hedge high there and nobody's tagging the roller. And that's where you kind of need Mark to drop back and be more of a rim protector.
Yeah. Yeah. And you also need Mark to, again, and I hate that we kind of keep bragging on Mark, but it's just that position, right? Like, I feel like it needs to come from that position of when he is selling out to block these shots and protect the rim, we're not getting any secondary rebounders. Like, we need at least one more guy to emerge as a 7 to 8 rebound a night guy. And we just, Mark has 3 tonight.
And it has to be him because you got 3 guards out there.
So. Right. Right. I mean, Jared has, or Foster has 5, you know, Jared only has 2, but he's been a guy that could do that. Roach has 3. So it's a little bit by committee, but if
you're not going to ask them to like get 8 rebounds, that's unreasonable.
Right. Jared's not going to get a double double with rebounds every night. Right. Like, that's just kind of a weird thing that's happened a few times. But Mark is the guy that you're looking at of like, there's really no reason he couldn't be 6 to 8. You know, I think Winslow was like, what, 7 or something like that. So it's like, you know, that would be a big help too. Because when Flip flies out to contest, we're giving up no one's showing up as a secondary rebounder.
The other thing is, if Flip gets in foul trouble, I don't want him. The problem is then you get that kind of Mason Plumlee senior year Matador defense where Kay basically told him to stay in the game no matter what and just avoid fouls. So he'd get his 3rd foul and he just wouldn't contest anything
at all. Yeah.
And that's not helpful, you know?
Yeah. That cue the Baylor 32-16 run, right? Like, it started when he went out, but it continued when he came back in. I mean, he comes right back in the game and I think it was, he gives up the N1, turns the ball over or gets his stuff blocked and then comes back down and they get the offensive putback. It's like, you know, that's you know, all the folks that wanted that portal big man are probably just pitchforks right now are out, you know. I mean, and I hear you, but I think it's still there's no reason Mark shouldn't be able to be that guy. You know, I don't understand why he wouldn't be able to be that guy.
And would the guards be playing as much? Would we be playing all 3 guards or 4 really when Proctor gets back?
Right.
As much if we had that second big man.
Right. And if we can fix the offense enough when you insert Proctor, then maybe we just kind of small ball teams to death if we can, you know, and we just really spread things out a little bit. At this point, I might would even try out Jalen Blakes a little bit and be like, hey, man, you think you can go get 6 rebounds tonight? 7 boards for us? Why not? You know, he'll do it. He punked their center tonight, dude. They got the switch they wanted with Blakes on the post against their center, and he just bullied him. It was like, nah, bro. Like, no, you know? So it's like, why not? Give him a shot. He's got 5 fouls to give, so see what happens. TJ, I don't really know if he can be much of a rebounder or whatever. Maybe the strength just doesn't, the strength and the positioning don't seem to be quite there yet. The role is not solidified enough probably either to really consistently get that from him. But, you know, we'll see. I think all in all, saw a lot on Twitter about this, but like I was of the opinion, and I think maybe y'all were too, that to me, I was kind of happy when I heard that Tyrese wasn't playing, only because it was like, I didn't want him playing unless he's been practicing these 8 days.
Yeah.
And we just haven't heard about it. But if he hasn't been practicing, and it's like, I didn't want to hear him come in, Duke lose by 10 or 15. It's like, you know, Proctor really wanted to give it a go. He hasn't practiced. He's been with the team, but we wanted to put him out there. And so we just threw off what we have. Maybe that's something we talk about right quick before we get out of here is, what does happen when Proctor comes back now? Like, how do you see roles shifting again? Does this really help us? Or now are we back into trying to kind of figure out how to play together again? I mean, do you just move Foster back to the bench and just say, hey, appreciate it. Like, continue to do what you're doing, just coming off the bench. Do you think if that happens, he's still like solidified at 20 to 25 minutes in that role? Like, I don't know. What are y'all seeing from that? Should I go to you first?
I mean, I think he's proved that he can handle the ball and, you know, at least be a facilitator.
What great game. Tonight, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he did it the whole night, even with them pressing. So I think he's going to probably, simplest thing is probably for him to move back to the bench, but still get his minutes. I mean, he's still worth, you know, like you said, 20 to 25 minutes a night.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly in the top six no matter what, right? So, but you're not going to like bring Proctor off the bench. I don't really think that makes sense. And Proctor can give us some perimeter defense that, you know, Foster and McCain and Roach aren't really giving us. Not that they've been terrible defensively, just that, you know, Proctor's clearly, besides Blake's, who doesn't play major minutes, he's clearly our best perimeter defender. So he's important just in that regard. But you're right that the offense has been working better for whatever reason without him. But I wonder if that's just tweaks that were going to happen anyway.
Yeah. And maybe we were just asking Tyrese at the beginning of the season to just carry a little bit too much in terms of like initiation and creation. And I think he's fine to play like off ball a little bit more too. He's really comfortable doing that. Yep. So I think that could work, of just bringing him back and saying, you got the same role. We're just going to do a few different things, have you off ball a little bit. I think load him up on the left side a little bit where he shoots the ball so well over there. Some stuff like that. And I think he would kind of graciously accept that. What about, and I'm not saying start this lineup, but I wouldn't mind seeing maybe our most used lineup or maybe our best lineup at some point just be something like Proctor, Roach, McCain, Foster, flip, and just kind of just really go with it and see what Foster can do driving the ball in that lineup with that type of spacing, right? Like maybe see what Roach could do in that type of spacing. Especially if McCain's going to shoot it like this and you put him out there, now teams are forced to like, he's got to be tagged at this point. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's a good problem to have because you're not going to fix the rim protection. You're not going to fix having, you know, all of a sudden you find this guy that's just going to come in and be able to anchor a defense. I don't think that's going to be how we're going to figure this out. It's going to be somewhere else. I don't know. It's worth a shot.
I mean, ultimately, we said at the beginning of the season that we thought we would have the best backcourt in the nation. And I think it's sort of trending in that direction, at least. I mean, when you talk about having four guys who can all shoot and can all play major minutes and can all handle the ball, and then you have Blake's as your backup.
Yeah.
Like that's our strength, clearly. I think if we lean more into the guard play and less into Filipowski iso ball, we'll be a better team for it.
Yeah, I agree.
Not that Flip shouldn't still get 15 shots a game. Just that it shouldn't be. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Just getting them differently. And I love that, like we said, all five starters tonight in double figures. Just being able to move the ball and get things going. I don't know. I don't really have a whole lot else to say about this. I mean, Shu, do you have anything else that you want to toss in other than, to me, it was just as a big win. I will say too, that I thought John was great tonight. I thought he was great early and had us prepared and like ready to execute. And we're running some good stuff. We get punched in the face a little bit, right? The physicality really picked up. They weren't calling fouls for a stretch there. And then again, in the second half, he goes into his bag again and he starts kind of loading up the opposite side. And instead of going to that flip pick and roll a little bit, he brings Foster onto the ball and really kind of lets him start to get going. I thought it was great for him. And I thought the defensive switching a little bit and getting them to kind of like try to get into that middle, that no middle. And then they just were missing everything. Like we had their guards pretty much shook there for a little while, despite not having a rim protector. So yeah, I'll give a little shout out to coach on that. Any other things that we missed or anything to highlight?
I mean, shout out to Ryan, held it down, yeah. Held down the fort for sure. I thought that was, you know, kind of the biggest stretch for us there.
Yeah. Not much noise from the bench, just looking at the box score, but there were moments in the game that I thought Ryan and Jalen really, really gave us good stuff. To use a Coach K-ism, right? Like the verve was just really, really strong with those two. So you'd like to probably get a little bit more from your bench, but you know, in a game like this, I think you just kind of, you walk away happy with the win and see what happens.
And that'll improve once Proctor gets back because you have to push somebody to the bench, right? And let's say it's Foster, then you're not going only seven deep. You're hopefully going eight deep because hopefully Ryan and Blake's at least can still kind of chip in here and there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And shout outs to Jerem, 40 minutes. I mean, Iron Man.
Yeah.
That's a tough game. And we went to him a lot because honestly, there for a stretch, like when they kind of ratcheted up the defense, he was the only one that I really trusted.
Yeah.
To do anything. And he responded. And, you know, the thing I love, he loves to talk that shit, boy. And not he backed it up. So,
yeah. Yeah. Jared was yapping a little bit too.
I saw
he made that three over there. I was talking to him a little bit. So,
I mean, if Roach keeps playing like this, he could win ACC Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Like, he's ahead of Flip at this point. To my mind.
Yeah. He's got to be, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, there's a guy,
RJ Davis, obviously.
Yeah. That's having a pretty nice shooting season for himself.
That's fair. But Roach has got to be first in the first team, at least second team, like minimum, right? Like,
I would think so right now for sure. Yeah.
The only other thing to add would just be how important a win this is for changing the prospects of the season.
Yeah.
You know, if you lose this, then you have no quality wins besides maybe Michigan State if they get it together. And you're heading into an ACC that's weak where you might only have like five quad one opportunities and you've already got four losses at that point too. And things are just looking a little bleak for the seeding at least. You know, you still probably make the tournament if you go like, you know, 13-7 in the ACC or whatever, but you still put yourself in a very tough position where you have all these like must win games at that point. So having gone, you know, I think we all said we'd be happy. We'd obviously would have preferred 3-1, but having gone 2-2 over the non-conference slate, it's okay. It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really, you would have liked to have won that Georgia Tech game, right? After losing to Arkansas, you would have liked to have taken that.
But that's with the Proctor injury, that's just, you know.
Yeah, you take that. I think if you look at one, and we've said this a few times, if you look at just one, you like to go back and get the Arizona game. Yeah. You're up two at home. You're up one or something, you know, at home. One stop probably seals it for you. You give it the M1, you blow the game. You know, if you go back and you'd like to get that one. But yeah, this one was huge for that, for seeding purposes. You got to think Baylor's going to kind of figure things out a little bit, right? Like they're not just going to hopefully just keep dropping games. They got some pretty winnable games coming up on their schedule here before they really get into it. So I would expect them to get back right as well. But yeah, I think only thing else other than this that we'll say here is the offense jumped up to seventh. Defense is sitting at 27th right now. So there were times when the defense looked pretty rough tonight, but overall to hold that offense to, what was it, 70 points? You take that, right? You take that.
I think what we want ideally is like a top five, 25 split, if that makes sense.
Yep.
If we can get there, I'll feel good.
Yeah. To me, that would be fifth top five offense, top 25 defense. I mean, 7-27, I'm okay, right? Like you're probably okay right there. But you'd like to kind of see both of those kind of creep in the right directions for you here. So either way, big win. And get a few days off now to kind of at least enjoy it, right? Like it's nice to go into the Christmas break with the big dub.
you get a nice sale and into Christmas with us. Yeah,
you get what should be kind of a nice little chill game on what I think that's New Year's Eve is when we play again. We play Queens. When's that? Is that New Year's Eve? When is that? Anyone see the schedule? It's on the 30th, right?
Yeah.
So you know, a few days off to not going to quite New Year's Eve, I guess, if it's what it is. But
you got Q's coming to town on the 2nd, which I'm going to
after that. Yeah. I would like to see Proctor play against Queens, and this is kind of dumb. People are probably like, well, why? You could just rest into, I'd like to at least get the rust off a little bit, right? Before you jump right into Syracuse. Because once that happens, once the new year hits, it's go time.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's full blown conference slate. It's time to really get things moving here. So, you know, if everyone have a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, if you're celebrating, stay safe out there. We'll probably take a few days off here to kind of celebrate as well. I would anticipate we'll probably jump back in maybe right before Queens or certainly right after to kind of dissect and see what's happening. But, yeah, big win, big dub. You know what to do. Rate, review, subscribe. You can find us in all the usual places. You can email us at thedevilsdenpod@gmail.com. You can find us on X/Twitter @devilsdenpod247. You can find us on the boards at thedevilsden.com. Bundle up, Duke fans. Keep the faces strong and the verb high. Go Duke.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.